people gave their heart to Christ, first-time decision. It's a business conference convention that I've gone to now for quite a few years. They do it three times a year in different cities around America. And then a young man who you'll meet if you ever met him, I'm going to have him speak here on a Thursday night in the near future. He organized this Saturday morning church service because he said there was a lot of people that would go. You know, it's a great evangelistic tool. So what started out with, I think, one of the first couple were 50, 75, 100 people. Now anywhere from 700 to 1,500, depending on how many come to this convention, show up at these services. And it's just an amazing time that God just pours out His Holy Spirit. And I never thought, I never forget, I walked into that Miami Convention Center. Lenny, I always think of you. I think, here I am, little boy from South Byron, walking under the banner, the Miami Convention Center. And I'm going to preach the gospel there. I preached the gospel at the Orange County in Orlando, one of the largest convention centers in the country. I preached the gospel in that. I preached the gospel in New Orleans, the New Orleans Convention Center, the place that during Katrina was filled up. I've preached the gospel in that. I preached the gospel in the Texas Convention Center in San Antonio, Texas. Preached the gospel in the Anaheim, California Convention Center. Isn't that amazing? And I think, look what the Lord has done. This is going to fit to what I'm going to talk about today, because one day, one decision can change everything in your life. I want you to open up your heart today. Father, I thank you now for your word. Lord, as it leaves my mouth, fill it with the power of your Holy Spirit, all for your glory and all for your honor, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you'd open your Bible up to Philippians chapter 3, and it won't be long today. Danny, a little bit more tweaking on the monitors, and I'm sorry I didn't come out earlier so that we could fix that. But just like a little, I'm like talking in a 55-gallon drum or something down here, if that makes any sense to you. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I got a little throat thing going on. But I'm going to be fine. Only one thing, still there, Danny, and maybe just pull the monitor back a little bit. Only one thing is needed sometimes to make the difference that can carry you into a total new direction. Just one thing. And in this portion of Scripture in Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul, he's in a Roman prison waiting for his execution. And I love his vision, and I love how he is thinking about his future, even though this pending final days of his life are lurking all around him. But he starts out and he begins in this verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. He says, "Brothers," and I'm reading from the New International Version, "I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it yet." And I don't know about you, but that's kind of where I live many seasons of my life, where I know, you know, I get this dream and I get this vision of what God wants to do in and through me, but I just don't seem to be able to get my hands around it to the propensity that God has called me to. But this is what he goes on to say. But he says, this one thing I do. And if we could corral that in a portion of our life where we would devote ourselves to one thing, one change, one decision. He said, this one thing I do, and this is what he said pertaining to him, and many of us need to learn this very thought. He says, I forget what is behind me. And you need to know a little of the history, and it would be a good lesson for you to look at of where Paul came from, who was originally, his name was Saul. And you can read in the Scripture how the Bible says he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of a Pharisee, as to the law, a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew it, every moment of it. But during that same time, He persecuted Christians. He had them murdered. He stood by when men and women were murdered. And you think sometimes that you have some things that you have to put behind you. And here is the Apostle Paul. He's in prison now, not for the murders that he committed, but for preaching the gospel. And, you know, I would like to get that thought with some people. You know, if I hear it once a week, it's probably, I'm not saying I hear it enough, but things weren't this bad before I gave my heart to Christ. And now I'm going through all this trouble. I gave my heart to Christ. I started coming to church, and now I'm running into all these challenges. Where is God in all of this? But Paul never says this. He knows, because he knows he is in the perfect will of God. And he said, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting what is behind. And this is what he says, I strain, I press, I move forward to what God has ahead of me. He said, I press toward the goal. Why? Not to get any more wealthier, not to accumulate any more stuff. But he says, I press on for the prize for which God has called me heavenward. I press on to the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus. And if you ever have that come across your life where God touches you in a way that you forsake everything else and you are totally focused on who and what He has called you to, nothing will take that place in your life. Nothing will excite you more. Nothing will satisfy you like that. And He says, I press. I want to win that prize. That which God has called me in Christ Jesus. Nothing means more to me. And I want to tell somebody today, it doesn't necessarily matter. I'm sorry for what you've gone through. And I'm even sorry for the things that you did that you look back at and say, I wish I never would have done that. But we serve a God today. He's the God of the second chances. He's the God of the third chances. He's the God of the fourth and the fifth. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about today? And He has come here today to pick you up and to breathe breath inside of you. And God speaks from Isaiah chapter 43. And somebody must need to hear this today. He says, forget the former things. Move past it. Don't dwell on your past. Get out of that. Because see, He said, see, look. I'm doing something brand new inside of you. And it springs up. And don't you perceive it? Can't you get a hold of it? I'm making a way in the desert and I'm making a stream in your wasteland. Oh, thank God for that. So how about some decisions that you and I can make this year that'll turn our 2014 around, that'll turn our lives around? Because you know, one decision that you make can change everything. After the first service, Chuck Venditti and Chuck Witter coming up and they're praying with me for some people. And I looked at Chuck Venditti and I thought, Chuck, I remember the one decision you made to forgo going on a cruise with your wife so you could drive a bus full of crazy kids on a little missions trip to Chicago when his daughter was away from God and something prompted her. Maybe she thought it was a free vacation or something, but she went on that trip, changed her life. And I said, your grandchildren, they probably wouldn't be here today had you not made that one decision. How many of you are happy for that one decision today? And then I got to think in my own life. I remember when I went to that Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting that I did not want to go to. I was done. And my wife said, honey, they ask you, you need to go and speak at it. I said, I don't want to go. She said, honey, you need to go. I said, I am not going. And the man of the house that I am, the man in control that I am, I said, okay, I'll go, honey. One decision started a Sunday night Bible study at my house. One decision. Rose Kakamas of Roxy's Music called me up. She says, listen, the YWCA is open. I said, I don't want to go there. She said, I'll pay it. I said, I got to pray about it. How many of you know when God makes things so plain in front of you, don't be stupid like that. I hung up the phone and I felt the Lord speak to me and say, do you want me to come and take you by the hand? I went there. We moved there. I invited a man to come to preach, and I'll never forget. The woman that would marry my daughter, my son, walked in, Amanda. I was thinking about that this morning. All emotional power. But had I not made that decision, he would have never met Amanda, and my grandkids would not be with me today. One decision. One decision. I could go on and on, but I'm telling you this because the importance of one decision in your life can change everything. Oh, I look over my life and I think of the decisions that I've made that were a detriment to me, and that's why I can stand up and say boldly to you, that God, He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the third, the fourth, and the fifth chance. He'll take your life. Maybe you've just made a mess of things up till now, but I'm telling you, if you'll give Him your life, He'll take your past, He'll put it behind you, and He'll give you the greatest future that you could ever see, ever. Come on, do you believe Him for that? So, I thought, what's one thing? What's some things that we could change? I just wanted to share a couple thoughts to help you in the decision process. What's one thing we could do? How about our habits? What are the habits that you have? I came in the first service, I was standing, and the Lord prompted me that some people have a habit of getting angry very easy. Just blow up, you blow off the handle, and you justify it. And there's no justification. And I don't know who that pertains to. And I don't even have it in my notes, but it's a habit. And God wants to break that in you. I'm helping this couple. They don't live in the area. They live out. They got my name. And I know some friends are there, and they called me. And I was talking to some of the family members. The husband, he's physically abused his wife. There's something about that. Boy, when I hear that, my blood just rises. Because I saw my dad beat my mom. And I told the family member, I remember when I was a young man, I had a temper. I had a bad temper. I mean, you crossed me, and I just had a temper. My mom and my dad were gone. I had nobody to speak into my life. Everybody that was around me was just afraid of me until one day a man had the guts, and he got up in my face. And he looked eyeball to eyeball to me and said, "That, you need to get control over that. It's a habit in your life that you need to change." I've worked on it ever since, but I'm telling you, I'm nothing like I was. But it's a habit that can destroy you if you'll let that go. What one thing, what one habit could you work on in your life, good or bad? Maybe it's internet. Maybe you're so ingrained in social media, you can't keep your eyes off of it. Maybe it's a habit you need to change. How about alcohol? Maybe you're drinking just too much in your life. You're throwing your life down a tube. And it's not good for you. Partying. Maybe you have a struggle. Maybe you have a bad habit. You can't get up in the morning. And you wonder why you can't keep a job. You can't show up on time. Do you know that showing up is 95% of your success in life? Just show up. And if you're not 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. And I don't want to go down that road because I kind of got a thing about that. But late, being late affects everything. Late for school. Late for church. Late for work. Going to take your wife out or your husband on a date. You're late. Late. I did a wedding for some folks some time ago, late for everything. Showed up at the wedding 45, 50 minutes late. Late! Come on, that's a habit. What's one thing? What if you changed that habit in your life? One of those things. How about in your relationships? Some of you have some people in your life that just pull you down. And you think that it's your call in life to pull them up. Let me tell you something. If you're around people and you're helping them and they're staying one way, and nothing's changing, you need to move on. You can't help them anymore. You need to let some, and you need to make sure you have the proper balance in your life of people that help you and encourage you, and you're just not in this place of, you're pulling. Because my mom used to tell me, she goes, "I know who you are and what you've been doing by the people you've been hanging around." I used to hate it when she'd say that to me. We had a prayer meeting on the Friday night before the Sunday or the Saturday morning meeting. And in these prayer meetings, anywhere from 50 to 120 people will come. And there was about 75 on Friday night. As we're in the middle of the prayer meeting and everybody, they're up front. They're praying. It's a powerful, powerful time. And the Spirit of the Lord prompted me and He said, there's a relationship here tonight that you're about ready. Your marriage is about ready to go on the rocks. It's about ready to dissolve. I can't remember exactly how I phrased it. But anyways, I said, but God wants to rescue you. And if you'll step out by faith, not to make you feel bad, but if you'll step out, God wants to restore that. And this woman, she comes up out of the crowd and she stands in front of me. We prayed for her. And after the meeting, she came up to me. She said, Pastor, I got to tell you, she says, when I left this meeting, when I got done with this conference, I had every intention I was going to leave my husband. I had it all planned. I had the apartment and everything. She says, I guess I'm not going to now. I said, I guess you're not going to now. I said, why are you going to do that? She said, we've just grown apart. She says, I like him, but I just don't love him. We have nothing in common anymore. Relationships. Now, if I'm talking to a husband or a wife this morning and you feel that way, you need to be all in on that. You need to work on that. God didn't give you multiples. He gave you one. If you've been through a divorce, I love you. God loves you. It's okay. But don't go through the same pattern again. Come on, are you listening to me today? You ought to work on that, work on that, work on that. Your relationships. You know, there's all opportunities in the church here for you to connect. And you need to connect with other people. Some people live one life. You want to come into the church. And I want everybody. I don't, you know, whatever your lifestyle is outside, you're welcome to come. But if you're going to grow in God, you got to connect your life with other people that are moving in the direction that He has called you to go. And I was thinking, I was writing some things down. Monday nights. It's in the bulletin if you look at it. There's a Monday nights ladies Bible study. A great opportunity for you to connect with other women. And I know I'm going to miss a few things, but I'm just sharing these. There's a Tuesday 6 a.m. prayer. Starts right in here. Anybody can come. And then at 7 o'clock, the men gather in the outback here from 7 to 8 o'clock every Tuesday. Whether it's Christmas Eve or not, Phil said, Marty, you want to have Bible study on Christmas Eve? I said, I'll be up. He said, okay, yeah, I will be too. Let's do it. And then I was in the hospital. Sorry, Phil. Tuesday mornings, 7 o'clock. Wednesday, once a month, there's a nursing home ministry that goes on. You can go. There's a men's Bible study at nighttime with Chris Busnick. You saw they're going to show the movie Courageous. Come on, man. If you've never seen that movie, you need to get not only Kleenexes, you need to get a towel with you. You're going to cry like a little girl. But that's what you need. Thursdays, Chuck Wood, Thursday during the day, Chris Busnack has another Bible study. It's Chris Busnack is taking over, I'm telling you. Everyone's welcome at 11 a.m. And then Chuck Wood has one at 6 p.m. And then we have church in here, and kids have ministry upstairs, and youth are next door. You can connect with that. Fridays, I don't know, there's probably something, I can't think of it. Saturday, men's breakfast once a month, adopt a block every week, come on. You can connect with that. Sunday's church, a Bible study next door that the Brills and Trzezinski's and a whole bunch of other people are involved in. You could go to that. You need to connect with people that'll help you. Don't come to me and say, well, I just don't know anybody. You got to step out, get out of your house, get out of your chair. One thing, meet one person. How about in your debts and how you deal with your money? I'm not convinced that we need more money. I'm convinced that we have a stewardship issue with the money that God's entrusted us with. You ever meet somebody that every time, I shared this in the first service, when we were in Israel, I mean, we'd eat, have breakfast, they feed you their salad for breakfast, praise the Lord. Yeah, salad for breakfast. These guys, I'm telling you, some of them, every time they go play somewhere where there are candy bars or chips or pop, they're in there, spend 10, 12 bucks every time. And you know, people do that. They get places, they see things. They have a stewardship problem. They have a spending issue. And God says, maybe this is the year where you make one decision. One, just one. How about in your health? I know I'm stepping into it here a little bit. Some people, they don't go to the doctor at all. And that's foolish. And I know you may be strong and healthy, but if something happens to you and you keel over, do you care about the people around you? It doesn't take anything for you to go and get a checkup. Hello? Some of you need a checkup from the neck up. That's what it is. How about what you're eating and drinking? Maybe you can make one decision. I think it's been 6 years ago now. You know, several years ago, I quit drinking regular pop because somebody said the sugar was bad. So then I started drinking diet pop. And then somebody told me the stuff in there gives you brain cancer. So I quit. Just quit. And I know people that have quit drinking pop that have lost 40 and 50 pounds just from stopping drinking pop. And I hate those people. Because it never happened to me that way. But how about what you eat and what you drink? Maybe it'll change your life. Just one decision. I had a brother come up to me after the first service. He said, hey, my wife was watching Dr. Oz, and he said that Dr. Oz said if you eat a lot of spinach and real green leafy things, that it creates blood clots in you. I said, thanks a lot. What am I supposed to drink? Water and eat air. I guess that's what it is. But one thing can we do to make the change? Hello? Are you listening to me right now? I'm helping you. I remember after I got my first colonoscopy, my father-in-law had died from colon cancer, and I got just on a kick. I remember getting up and telling people, if you're over 50 and you haven't got a colonoscopy, you need to get one. Some people got mad at me. They said, you shouldn't be talking about that. Why? My father-in-law just died in front of me from it. I'm going to talk about it. And a man came up to me and got it done, George Schott, and called me, pray for me. It doesn't look good. Prayed. He called me back. He said, Pastor Murray, you're never going to believe it. The test came back negative. Health. A prayer can help you when you get in trouble. But why wait until you get sick and then need prayer? Why not work on it before, ahead of time? Incidentally, I got to tell you this little prayer praise. I shared this. I don't know if I shared it. There's a man that had started coming here several months ago in the first service. His name is Bob Sipra. He went through some health issues. He came, gave his heart to Christ, been coming. Some of his family came to the church a little over a week ago and asked if they could use the church for his funeral. And I think that's when I was in Israel, and I said, and Kathy sent me that. I go, what? Yeah, he's in Rochester General. He's on life support. They expect any moment he's going to die. We started praying. And I got a word from somebody that he was starting to respond. I'm sitting at my desk this morning. It's about 5 after 7. My phone rings. It's a Rochester number. I wonder who it is. I answer it. My voice a little groggy. I go, hello? Person at the other end goes, hello, who is this? I go, who's this? Just so you know, if you call me and you say, who is this? I ain't telling you who I am until you tell me who you are. I said, well, who is this? He said, this is Bob Sipra. I said, Bobby, you're doing good. He goes, yeah, I'll be coming home in a couple days. Come on. That's some real Jesus stuff there. But you got to take care of your health. How about a habit? How about a decision in your dreams? Some of you, you don't even have a dream. You haven't written anything down. Nothing's working inside of you. Maybe God wants you to go on a missions trip. A couple years ago when we went on our trip to Africa, you know, Becky, she'd always wanted to go on an Africa trip. And I thought, dear Jesus, she'll go with somebody out of state or something. All of a sudden, she heard I was taking a crew, and there's her name on the sheet. And I go, dear God, you really don't mean this, do you? It's all right, lighten up. And then I saw Carol McDermott wrote her name down. I thought, oh my God, all these women, Shandy's going, Nicole's going, please, Lord, send a man. Thank God Nathaniel went. And I thought, these women, they are going to drive me crazy. How am I ever going to spend? They're going to drive me crazy. Do you know? It was a dream that Becky had, but you know what? It blessed me more, I bet you, than it did any of them. It was one of the greatest trips of my life. One decision, one dream. And you can dream. Great it is, the dream to the dream. Old John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, who was far the preacher that he ever thinks he could be. And John used to stand up and say, great it is, the dream, when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But greater it is to fight life through and say at the end that the dream is true. You can have a dream. I want to encourage you this year to make one decision to have a dream. Maybe you got a dream to go back to school. Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's doing something with your spouse. Begin to believe God for that. Because if you don't have it working in your life, you'll live a very small life. And the honest truth is today that no matter what decision you make, if Jesus isn't the center of that decision, it'll never amount to anything. Listen to what David says in the Old Testament about one thing. Psalm 27:4. I love this out of the New International Version. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord. Not five, just one. I'm talking about one decision today that you can make that'll change your life, change all the surrounding. Oh, I feel God on me right now. One thing, he says, I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. He said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. One thing. I love this story in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's about distractions and decisions. And Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. Martha, Mary, sisters of Lazarus, great friends of Jesus. Martha opens her home. She sees Jesus coming. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He had said. Look at the scripture, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and said, Lord, why don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. And I said this earlier, that I know that place. My wife knows that place. We have worked while others have sat, and almost to the point where we've become kind of upset over it. But this break, the older I get, the better picture I get out of this. Because Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're upset about many things. Look at the scripture, but only one thing is needed. Did you see that? One thing? Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken from her. Are you distracted today? Jesus was in Martha's house. The Savior, the King of the world, had come. And here she was in the kitchen. She missed the opportunities. You and I have opportunities today. Some of the things that I've said, they already begin to work in your heart and in your life. You can embrace them. I want to give you just some tools here to do it. I'm going to close in just a moment. Three quick things. Number one, I make the decision. I make it to make the best, the most out of 2014. I make it. Ephesians 5:15 says, be careful then how you live. How you live. If you're waiting for a ship to sail in or somebody to hand you a golden spoon, guess what? It's not going to happen. You make the decision. How you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Solomon, the Lord said, ask me anything. He said, give me wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask me for wealth and houses and new cars and clothes. He said, because you didn't ask me for that, because you asked me for wisdom, you can have all those other things. Paul says, be careful. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The word opportunity there means kairos. It means a particular moment. It means a moment that will open and a moment that will also shut. He said, Make the most of every opportunity, because the days you're living in are evil. And my goodness, are we living in evil days? Another shooting in Maryland yesterday. I mean, dear Jesus, we need God in America now. And our life in Christ is more important than anything else we can do. And let me say this, it's more important than just attending one church service a week. Number two, I make the decision to get rid of every distraction in my life. Martha was so distracted that she thought her cooking was more important than sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's close, but it's not there. That was supposed to be funny, but I guess this is too serious of a moment right now. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're surrounded by a great cloud, heavenly host of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders you and the sin. What's it say? That so easily entangles itself in you. And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. You have a lane to run in. Run with it. Get rid of distractions. Get rid of the things that are hindering you. Get rid of the stuff. If it's watching things on your computer, throw your computer away. I had a preacher, an acquaintance in another state, call me up. I need to talk to somebody that I can trust. Well, come on, man. How can I help you? I've been watching pornography on my computer. I don't know what to do. I said, take that computer, smash it, and throw it away. Well, I need it. No, you don't. If that's a stumbling block, get rid of it. Are you listening to me today? You've got to get rid of it. You've got to quit going to the places that pull you down. You make that decision. Maybe you've already blown it, but you can start again. Listen to this. I have decided that I will not let anything that means nothing keep me from experiencing everything. Go ahead, write that down. Take a picture of it. I have decided that I will not let anything that really means nothing keep me from experiencing everything. I never knew. Amen. Give Jesus a praise on that. I never knew the day I said yes to Christ. I never knew the day that I pressed in to serve Him. I never knew the day that I started going to a prayer meeting where there'd be six or eight other people all over the age of 65 and 70. And I was in my early 20s. I never knew that those days would bring me to this day. And as I'm standing here today, I know I'm not, and I have not fulfilled everything yet. And I have some big dreams that God, He's going to bring to pass in my life. But you have to make a decision. You have to get rid of the distractions. And number three, my last point, and I'm going to close. I make the decision. I do. Prioritize the presence of Christ in my life. I'm going to live my life with God first. He's going to be the center of my life and my will and my family. I will not allow prayer to be the last resort when I'm in trouble, when I'm sick, when I got my back up against the wall. Please pray for me. I'll pray for you, but don't wait until that point. Pray now. Don't wait until you're in trouble. Fast now. I shared this a few weeks ago. Champions are not made in the ring. They're discovered in the ring. And when you're in a fight with the enemy, you can't start praying and fasting then. You've got to have that under your belt before you go up against him. Before you do anything in the morning, you need to seek him first. When you get up, you need to realize Jesus is in your house. And he's standing there waiting to commune with you. The last verse of scripture, Philippians 3:7-8. New Living Translation. Here's the apostle again. He's talking about his former life. He said, I once thought these things were valuable. We could talk about this verse a long time. But now, he said, I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, for this sake, I discarded everything else. Boy, does this sound like a life that's sold out to God? I discarded everything else. I count it as garbage so that I can gain Him. Who am I talking to today? Where you've been on the fence in your life with Christ? Who's feeling this inside of them today that you know that God has been pulling you close? I'm telling you, I'm up here. I know this is for me. I need more of Him in my life. I need Him to dominate every part of me. I will not leave this building today and go about business as usual. I will serve Him with new passion. I will do things. I tell you, when people walk up to me and they say, things like, that message, that changed my life. I made a decision that day to do, and everything changed. One thing, one decision could change your entire life. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me right now, just for a moment. I'd just like you to wait on the Lord just for one moment in His house, in His presence this morning. He's here to help you. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He's not mad at you a bit. You might be here and you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You're right. I'm not interested. He does. He's more concerned on where you're going than where you've been. Some people here today, you've been called to a higher level in Him. You've been called to a place of prayer. You've been called to a place of service. Some of you have just been waiting. You've been holding off on submitting your life to Him and giving your all to Him. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. Today is the day where you make the decision. You make it, and it impacts your life like it did Chuck Vendetti. Like it did that day in the jail cell for Chris Buzniak. He never thought he'd be leading two Bible studies here at church, another Bible. One day, one decision. I could go all over this place. I could tell stories about it all over this house. One decision. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. There's no love there. For some of you, you've been stepping out. I'm not even going to talk about that. But it's a decision you need to make today. One decision will change your future. Some of you, even as I'm speaking now, you can't wait to get out of here. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You need Jesus to be that person in your life. Causes you to breathe and to live. Because the moment will come, the day will come. You'll be asking everybody else to pray for you, and He's there saying, I'm right here. I want to help you. I want the folks that help me pray, I want you to come down to the altar this morning, right now. I don't know who it is I'm referring to this morning, but I know. Oh, do I know? There's some people here, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And you need to do that. You're going nowhere without Him. Yes, I say it, nowhere. It's not that He's out to get you. If you don't surrender your life to Him, that He's going to He's waiting around a corner to beat you down. He loves you. He's got all this life ahead for you. And you have to make that decision today. That I'm going to give up the things that are meaningless to gain everything. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to open up the altar. Your head's bowed, your eyes still closed, just for a moment. Close in prayer. Open up the altar for you to pray. And then, today, I just want to receive a missions offering. This is for, you'll see it in the bulletin, for Dress a Girl. Part of it will be for that, and the other part will be for local missions. And there'll be three ushers in the back on the way, leaving with a bucket. And you can put it right in that bucket as you walk out the door. But I want to open up this altar. I want you to come. Maybe your life, maybe you need some help. Maybe you need some prayer making the decision. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's you and your spouse. Maybe there's something going on with your children. Maybe you messed up being a parent. And now your kids, there's some challenges there. God can turn that around, but He turns it around in you first. I'm going to pray. Open up the altar. If you need prayer, I want you to come down. If you need Christ in your life, you come down. You tell one of these people, they'll pray for you, give you a Bible, leave God with you. God will save you and make your life brand new. And then when you leave, if you would, sow something into the work of the Lord for missions. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I want you to do that. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you all the glory and all the praise here today, because you're so good. Your intention is to do good things in and through your people. I pray now for you to pour out. Let the anointing that breaks every yoke help each person. Even as I'm praying, I'll just come if you want to. I'm going to close in just a moment. Father, I just thank you for how you're working in lives at this very minute. Let the power of your Holy Spirit abundantly move upon them and help them to make the one decision today. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. I love you. You come down for prayer. Then on your way out, sow something for missions. I love you. God bless you so much.